This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Get ready!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Incomplete! And the 49ers have won it!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And it is incomplete! The Eagles win! The Eagles win!
On today's show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Complete Week 17 recap. Your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Show on the air here on Disney Plus and the ESPN app and ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80 and this podcast listening group. We greatly appreciate anybody who listens to us all 3 hours whenever you want on our podcast feed. The RSS feed just dropped another Overreaction Monday pod. Chris Brockman and I recorded it. So much to overreact to with more teams dropping out of the playoff picture. And, of course, enhancing their playoff picture and Super Bowl potential runs. It's there for you to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. Also on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Chris Brockman in his seat. In hour number two, look, we got a line change to use the hockey phrase. Ladies and gentlemen, Jay Felly's sitting there because you're taking the new soundboard for a spin here, right?
I am. It's okay. It's lovely.
Very good. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. No line change for you. Good to see you, sir. How are you over there?
I'm great, man. Happy to be back. How was you guys?
It's all good. Yeah.
What's up, TJ?
I've been working more than not, but it's all good. It's all good. And I'll talk about that Chargers-Texans game shortly. Kurt Warner, who called that game with me, is going to be joining us in less than 20 minutes' time. He is in Atlanta to call Rams-Falcons on the national radio broadcast tonight. I'm assuming he's already seen the film from last night's game that took the first 20 minutes up of our chat time on the program in hour number one, the Sunday night game between the Bears and the 49ers. And I know Kurt is such a stickler. Can't wait for him to join us if he's watched the film to tell us the throws that Purdy and Caleb missed on Sunday night, because that's just the way Kurt is. He's such a perfectionist. So Kurt's going to join us in about 18 minutes' time.
Real quick, you think, like, you know, we know Peyton Manning, just poor quarterback play just, like, personally offends him and it hurts his soul.
Yes.
Kurt, do you think, like, the great quarterbacks, sometimes I wonder, when they watch a game last night, they just sit back and smile because
when they see what these two guys do,
yeah, just two young guys doing it and at such a high level and it was such a great game. You think they just sit back and they're just like, yeah.
I think somebody like Kurt is marveling. I think he's marveling.
Yeah.
And somebody, I imagine the Mannings as well, because those guys, those three guys, just to mention those three, pocket guys.
True.
Seeing what these guys doing on the run and on the move and using their legs. Steve Young has multiple times come on this program saying his counsel to Brock Purdy would be to use your legs more. Get out of the pocket. Run. Use that as a weapon. And last night, again, that play where he ran around for 8 seconds and it looked like he was going to finally run it in when he got out of the pocket to his left and threw it to a wide-open Juszczyk is truly one of the plays of the year. One of the plays of the year. And a counter to, and this is not anything against Mac Jones. That's why Purdy's the $50 million a year starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. And he is going to be a starter somewhere else because the starting quarterback is Brock Purdy there. And he's going to, he's on his second year there next year. We'll see if he can get his way out or have another year doing what he's doing and then go off on his own and show that he can do it his way. From the pocket, mostly. Off you go. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars now. Oh, got to go to break.
See, stop.
Keep making that joke.
Come on, man.
Dude.
When Liam Cohen took the job, again, he was known for botching the Duval chant, if you want to call it that, right? And
we should do it his way.
Seems to be working.
Should now all do it his way. Well done.
Yeah. That's the way, like, that should be the new chant.
The fans should now learn that.
Yes.
That said, though, that was, again, utilized in such a way that we would drop that or other shows would mention that. They're still mentioning it. But no longer with the implication that this guy isn't ready for what's to come.
Yeah.
And to the point where, again, when we had him on pre-draft and then we had him on post training camp prior to the season, we were asked by Jacksonville's folks, just do us a favor and don't mention the Duval
don't bring
thing.
It up. Yeah.
Because again, the implication was he doesn't get it. He's not ready for it. And we would appreciate it if you just don't bring it up. And how wrong was anybody about this guy not being ready for it? And I'll be honest, this team is an inspiration. It really is. It is an inspiration, and the Texans are the same way too. But the Texans have a head coach who's been there, done that, as D'Amico Ryans now has 10 win or more seasons in his first three seasons as a head coach in the NFL. He's only one of six to do such a thing. And they have a chance, if Jacksonville somehow slips up at home against Tennessee, and I don't see it, to win the division again. That said, this is about Jacksonville. An inspiration in the fact that I saw them. I was around them. I interviewed them when they were, you know, getting ready for the London game against the Los Angeles Rams. I should know this by heart now, but I got to look at the schedule. Week 7 in London. Okay. I was there. And you guys were there leading up to that game. And the conversation was Jacksonville still can't get out of its own way. Okay. In talking to Liam Cohen, found out again, Liam Cohen on Wednesdays says he would show to the team videos, photographs of the game breaker that they have to stop. Because if this person does what he normally does, we're going to lose. We got to stop this person. We're circling this person, essentially. And he said the game breaker that he showed to the team prior to getting on the plane to London was the Jacksonville Jaguar logo. You're the ones that are breaking the game right now.
Yep.
We got to stop you from shooting yourselves in the foot. Penalties, mistakes, mental mistakes. And all they did against the Rams was do it again. And I'm like, uh-oh. The coach has emphasized this, and it didn't sink in, or at least they couldn't execute it. Uh-oh. They go off on the bye, and I honestly thought the team that I saw in the Rams is the unstoppable team, not the Jaguars. And the Jaguars are turned into just as unstoppable a team as the Rams since that day. They go into Vegas off the bye. They pull one out of their orifice at the end of the game, winning overtime. And then go to Houston, go up by 19, lose it. They had the Texans dead to rights. They could have swept the Texans. This thing would have been over and wrapped. And they would be not needing a lot of help as the one seed right now if they took care of that 19-point lead. Instead, the Texans haven't lost since, but neither have the Jaguars.
Hmm.
A team that blows the 19-point lead doesn't lose. Normally, you think the team that comes back from the 19-point deficit doesn't lose. And by the way, the Texans haven't. But the Jaguars have won 7 in a row. And Trevor Lawrence is playing exactly like we thought he could and would when he was the first overall must-have, can't-miss, surefire first overall pick of his draft. coming out of Clemson. Running it, throwing it. Unstoppable. Unflappable. Not making the mistakes. Confident. Hair flowing. Shampoo and conditioner in one. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. And Urban certainly wasn't. Urban was the first guy with that lottery ticket, and he burned it himself. And then Doug Peterson comes in. And don't forget, he took the Jaguars to the playoffs. Trevor Lawrence threw a gajillion interceptions in the first half of that game and then came back to win it, goes into Arrowhead, then loses, and they haven't been back to the playoffs since. Doug Peterson's gone. Liam Cohen comes in and does the Duval thing. And we're all thinking, no shot. And even in the middle of the season, like I told you. But they have been amazing. They have been superb. Trevor Lawrence has been awesome. Now, he threw a red zone interception yesterday. And when that happened, it was something that you used to see a lot more of out of him. But it stuck out like a sore thumb. It's just like, wait a minute. Not only did he throw an interception, it was a red zone interception. He didn't complete. It was something we haven't seen in a while. But he did rush two in. Third time he's done that this year. He hasn't thrown a red zone interception. He's thrown four of them this year, but he hasn't thrown an interception of any kind since week 12. 35 total touchdowns. Five straight games with two or more passing touchdowns got snapped, but he did extend his streak of offensive touchdowns to seven games, longest streak in Jacksonville history, and the only one with more of an active streak of two or more offensive touchdowns accounted for is Matthew Stafford with nine going into tonight's Monday night game. He's been amazing. Nine rushing touchdowns, faced 20 pressures in week 17, still hung in there. Etienne's running it without tooting. He was hurt. Parker Washington's been great. Josh Hines-Allen for a defense that's behind the best in the AFC and taking the ball away, the team that's behind the Bears defensively in that regard. And look who's got 12 wins. Going for 13. They're going to get it. They're going to beat the Titans at home next week. And Liam Cohen becomes the 13th head coach in NFL history and the sixth to do so at age 40 years or younger to win 12 or more games in his first NFL season. Take a victory lap, coach. But, of course, he's not doing that.
We didn't even address making the playoffs as a team. We haven't really talked a ton about goals, about the division, playoffs, conference, Super Bowl. Like, we have not had any of those conversations as a team, not really on purpose, more so just because you're really trying to focus on getting better, because there's so much to coach off of every week for us. And even through a lot of wins, we're able to coach off a lot of stuff. And keeping the mindset pretty singular on 1-0 each week, that's just been the mindset and mentality that these guys have had, and I've appreciated that, and we fed off of each other that way.
And you know what's also impressive? When you don't have production, consistent production from your draft choice, chosen in the top five, let alone top two, let alone you trade up future considerations to get the guy, and you don't get production from him, that is cause for alarm. It never winds up with 12-plus wins, that's for sure. It gets coaches on hot seats and front offices on hot seats, and they have done all this without Travis Hunter, who blew out his knee in late October. This has all been done without him. And he had the best offensive day of anyone in that game in London. He had his career best game, 100 yards and a score. And it was now time for him to come on strong. Brian Thomas Jr., he hasn't had a season like last year at all.
True.
And they're doing this. And they're coming for you. You put up the current standings in the American Football Conference. You know who's coming into Jacksonville right now if it all stays put? The team that they whipped in the Los Angeles Chargers. 35-7 was the final of that game. That wasn't even close. That was when they took Herbert out in the second half saying, he's getting killed out here. We're done. We're done for the day. They whipped the Chargers. And then they could go and potentially, if, let's say, the Bills knock off the Patriots, no offense, I'm just throwing things, or the Broncos, if the Patriots become the one seed? Because the Broncos and the Patriots are both going to have to lose for the Jaguars to have a shot at the one seed. You think they're going to be nervous about hosting a second playoff game against the Bills and Josh Allen? I'll tell you what, folks, this could wind up a Jaguars-Texans AFC championship game because they're playing the best football of anybody consistently. Winning streak, defensively, offensively, coming for you. This is real. It's real. Now we'll take a commercial break. See, Jacksonville, we could do that. We can actually talk about your team killing it. Killing it. And I don't care if small market. Small market can go into Santa Clara and win it all. Facts. Tell Liam Cohen he's not. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Kurt Warner, when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show, my Hall of Fame friend. This message is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. As the holiday season rolls around, we know that you strive to do everything you can to bring cheer and joy to your loved ones. And as a credit union dedicated to serving all veterans, active duty, and their families, we understand that every little bit counts. That's why, for a limited time, you could earn a $250 cash bonus when you spend $2,500 with Navy Federal's Cash Rewards and Cash Rewards Plus cards in the first 90 days. But the giving doesn't stop there. You could also earn up to 2% unlimited cash back with these cards. So saving up for whatever the season brings just got a little easier. Give joy. Get joy. Join now at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash rewards for details. Cashback terms and conditions apply. Offer ends January 1st, 2026. Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio. Joining us right now from Atlanta, where he's going to be calling tonight's Rams-Falcons game on national radio. Ladies and gentlemen, Kurt Warner's back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Kurt? Good to see you.
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I don't know if you heard Philip after the game, Philip Rivers after the game talking about no regrets. What are you thinking when you hear that?
I mean, no regrets because he exceeded all expectations that any of us had. I think that's the cool part is that I'm sure he would have said the same thing had it not gone well. But I think that was the most impressive thing is that none of us really had an expectation. I think when he went to Seattle, everybody was like, oh my gosh, you know, this isn't going to end well. And every game he got better and he made plays. And you even asked me on the show the other day, like, did it have me thinking? Yeah, I was back out in the backyard throwing the ball like, could I do what Philip could do? Like, it was cool. It was cool for all of us old guys going, man, if he could do it, maybe I could. Like, it was really awesome. And so I'm glad that that he feels that way now. And I'm glad that it went the way that it did. What a cool experience. I mean, you have things in life sometimes that nobody else has. And this is one of those things that, you know, I don't know if there'll ever be another guy that sits out of the game for 5 years and comes back to play. And Phillip can say, I did it. You know, I did it and I did it well. And, you know, I gave my team a chance in the games that I played in when nobody thought that I could. So, so cool. You know, a cool kind of ending. If this is the end to a story, I guess we can't say that now, right? After he came off the bench for five years off, you know, maybe this isn't it. But if this is it, what a cool way to finish it off. And again, there's going to be a lot of old guys like me, you know, that are thinking, hey, you know, maybe I could have done it.
Yeah, I mean, I did ask you that during game day morning, like while watching him on film. Are you sitting there saying, that's a throw I think I could still make? And you're like, yeah, I've done that. And you're also involved in coaching as well, Kurt. So what a powerful message to have his entire high school team there. And when he goes back to coaching, what a powerful message to be able to look an athlete, a kid in the eye and say, you can do it because look what I, and don't worry about the consequences. Don't worry about if you can't, or if the circumstances come out where it shows the opportunity that you're trying to take doesn't succeed. Doesn't matter. It's the trying. Yep. It's the want to. What a powerful way to be able to go and look a kid in the eye and be believed.
No doubt. I mean, from both standpoints, like you said, you know, from the standpoint that nobody else thought I could do it, and I showed people I could do it. Or the other side, you know, when, you know, he had one of his first press conferences and they were asking him and he's like, yeah, I'm nervous. Like, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. And so, but at the same time, he threw himself out there going, yeah, a lot of people think I'm going to fail. And, you know, I could fail. Like, I understand, you know, what the circumstances are, but I'm going to embrace it anyways. And if I fail, I fail. But I'm going to embrace it and I'm going to chase after it anyways. So, I think it's an incredible message, an incredible story that, you know, again, not just Phillip, you know, when he's coaching, there's going to be a lot of, you know, coaches and people and parents that are using his example moving forward, you know, as a recent example of doing those same sort of things. And so I'm sure I'm going to share that story, you know, numerous times throughout my life, just about what he did and the fact that he wasn't afraid to fail and embraced it and jumped back into it. It's really, really cool.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's jump into Sunday night. Holy crap, what a game. That was incredible. I started the show, Kurt, by saying I feel like I'm coming on the air on every Monday saying that was the game of the year. No, that was the game of the year. But this Sunday, this was the game of the year. The quarterback play, how did you see it from Purdy and Caleb? Let's start with the winning quarterback and Brock Purdy, Kurt.
I mean, Brock's playing really good football. I mean, you know, I've been a huge fan of Brock's. You know, I don't know if it's the fact that he's from Arizona, so I got some ties there. He played in Iowa, and I got some ties there, or just the fact that, you know, he was Mr. Irrelevant, and I was a free agent guy that nobody expected anything from, or because we were limited. Like, so many similarities between the two of us. But I think, you know, to me, it's just we've lost sight, you know, to some degree that you can play this position at an extremely high level without just being a freak athlete or having this freak physical ability, that there is still, you know, at the heart of this position is the ability to see what a defense is doing, understand how to make different throws, have a sense of anticipation and timing within what you're trying to do and what the defense is doing. That is an art form and is a unique talent. You know, when I was playing, that was the main talent. Now that's not the main talent that we see at the quarterback position, but guys that can do it like a Joe Burrow and like a Brock Purdy and that can do it well. I sit back and appreciate that aspect of things. And so watching Brock, you know, and maybe it has something to do with the fact that is the way that I played. And so that is still the way that I see the game. But I truly appreciate guys that do those things and do it on a consistent basis. And, you know, where it doesn't look like this wow throw, I'm often wowed by throws that Brock makes just because I know the nature of what they're asking him to do and how tough it is to, you know, make a 16-yard throw and have to throw it up over a linebacker and drop it in under a safety on a consistent basis. It may not look impressive, but those things are impressive because not everybody in the league can do those things, even the guys that have great arms and that can, you know, run fast 40s. And so there's just an appreciation for how he plays the game and his understanding of the game that I enjoy watching every time out there. And I probably enjoy it too, because he's proving that, you know, there's different ways to still be really successful in the NFL as a quarterback. And that the drop back passer, or the guys that, you know, play with anticipation and with their mind first, can't succeed in the NFL anymore. And I fully disagree with that. And you know, and I look at guys like Joe Burrow and Brock Purdy and say, not only can you succeed, you can succeed at the highest level doing those things. You don't have to necessarily have, I mean, Jared Goff is another guy, you know, you don't necessarily have to have, you know, all these physical traits that are awesome and, you know, great to have a quarterback that can do all those things, but you don't necessarily have to be, you know, otherworldly in that regard to succeed at the NFL level if you can do these things that that I'm talking about.
And I also was talking to Bears fans directly about how obviously the ending leaves a bitter taste and it's a gutting way for your team to lose. But my goodness, has it been confirmed over and over and over and over again that Caleb is the real deal and has a remarkable amount of talent and does have the play-calling head coach attached to his hip that he needs and requires in this nature and nurture world, right, of the NFL and its success. There's no question in anyone's mind, right? Like, this is a real deal, special, talented quarterback, Kurt, correct?
All I'm waiting for at this point, with what I've seen and that he's continued to, like you said, you know, prove different things to me and I'm sure everybody else out there on a weekly basis. All I'm waiting for is the efficiency to get to, and I'll just say kind of that NFL level, you know, that, you know, when you look at a starting quarterback, you're like, you're making the right decision, having your eyes, like once he gets that to go along with the things that we've seen him do this year, the incredible throws. I mean, we saw, and it's a weekly thing, right? There are two or three throws every single week that we pull out and go, not everybody's doing that. Like, you know, and he making those plays consistently, you know, his ability to play in the big moments. I mean, that has been time and time and time again. And last night I thought he did a great job because it was managing that last drive. It wasn't just, you know, making, you know, some crazy run or some crazy throw. It was, hey, you know, pressure in this situation, man, I gotta beat it with this throw. And I've got to, you know, make eight or nine of these, you know, efficient throws to get us down the field as opposed to one big throw. And so all of those things just continue, like, and I don't want to say I'm a doubter, but, you know, with this team and you know, with what I saw last year, I'm still waiting. Like, is the other shoe going to drop? You know, we did the thing on New Year's, you know, is Cinderella going to, you know, is the pumpkin going to, you know, come back out or whatever that is. You know, I've been just kind of waiting to see, like, okay. And every week they continue to prove to me more and more that they are a viable option, you know, in these NFC playoffs. I mean, what they did last night to go on the road against a really hot offense and a quarterback on the other side that's playing really good and match them drive for drive and situation for situation. And, you know, and I almost feel like, yeah, they lost the game, but they really ran out of time more than I felt they lost the game, right? If there would have been another 20 seconds on the clock and they would have had two or three more plays from inside the five, I'm sitting here today going, yeah, I think Caleb makes a play and they win that game. And so it was more running out of time, in my opinion. So they have continued to prove things to me. And, you know, Caleb continues to prove that he's got, you know, just about everything you're looking for. And he's exceeded expectations for a second-year guy. And if he can get that, you know, efficiency piece, I mean, look out. Look out, league. It is going to be a fun run to watch these Bears play for years to come.
And that moment could arrive in 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like it could be the now as well as the lookout league in the future. It could be the lookout league right now. But in the same way that all they needed was more time and they might have beaten San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the NFC standings, if I may call for them, and you're like viable option in the NFC. I mean, who isn't, right? With all due respect to the NFC South eventual champion, who isn't? And you could even throw it. Listen, I know the Packers have lost a couple in a row. All they needed was one onside kick recovery against Chicago. They have 10 wins. So do the Bears. And this is a totally different week 17 and 18 picture that we're talking about right now. Jordan Love comes back and, you know, maybe Josh Jacobs can get healthy and stout. We see Bears Packers part three. You never know, right? I mean, and then you look in the AFC, I started the show as well, Kurt, with our NFL Game Day Morning segment that you just referenced about Cinderella staying in their carriage when the clock strikes midnight on New Year's Eve or turns back into a pumpkin. You and the rest of our great crew and gang together mentioned five other teams in addition to the Bears as being Cinderella. And I agreed with every single one of them. I can't recall the last time a playoff field was so wide open. Could you, Kurt?
No, I can't. I mean, even coming into a season, usually, you know, our first show of Game Day Morning every year, I always think, okay, there's probably – you know, four or five teams that I legitimately think could win it all. Just what you're showing right there, as you said, I'm not sure the Steelers, you know, if they're the ones that end up representing, or Carolina, or even Tampa with the way Tampa's playing, although I would have said Tampa early in the year, just with the way they're playing. Outside of those two teams, I'm fully with you. I think you could make an argument for the other six teams on each side that they have got, you know, legitimate teams and legitimate ways in which they could run the table and represent their side, you know, in the Super Bowl. And I don't remember the last time where I felt that way. And so I couldn't be more excited to see how week 18 plays out, to see who's in the dance, to see who's matched up, because that's the other thing is that, you know, how important is that number one seed just from the standpoint? It's like, I don't want to play any of those wild card teams.
Of course not, because you could be one and done by them. If you could skip 1 week of the playoffs and just advance yourself to the next, that's the way to go about it. And certainly since the first half of the season doesn't really mirror the second half of the season, and I guess the third season, the postseason, might not mirror either one of the first two halves either, Kurt. And a perfect example of all this is when we were in London week 7, right? We're in London week 7 getting ready to call Rams and Jaguars. And if somebody had come up to us and said, listen, the best chance to win the Super Bowl out of the AFC is going to come from the AFC South, we'd be like, wow, the Colts and Daniel Jones, you got to be kidding me. And now we just saw the Texans beat the Chargers. You and I called that game on Saturday. And the Jaguars look nothing like the team we saw walk off that field in Wembley in week 7, Kurt. Yep. Nothing. Both of those teams might be the best teams in football right now.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. And you know, even if you're, you know, one of the teams that's going to win their division, I'm sure you're at home right now going, okay, do we want to be the second seed? Because that means we might have to play so-and-so, or do we want to actually be the third seed? Because, again, it's just – I am so with you, is that those wild card teams right now are really scary. And, you know, you feel like any one of those could represent, you know, their side in the Super Bowl. And so you're not going to want to play them in the first round. And that's why I say that number one seed is so huge on both sides, is let somebody beat somebody else up and knock somebody else out before you've got to play a football game. And so, you know, that game on Saturday between the Niners and Seattle is so huge. And then obviously, you know, whether it's New England or Denver, you know, punching their spot for the number one, man, that's going to be huge for whichever two teams that is.
And then, you know, with the 2-1 seeds from last year's playoffs out now, and the Lions and the Chiefs leaving the two top seeds from last year's playoffs playing each other yesterday in the Eagles and the Bills, if you had to put your marker on one to go on a run, do you choose Josh Allen, who doesn't appear to be fully healthy, and a defense that is balling out, you know, better than some could have even have hoped over the last month? Or do you take an Eagles team that didn't complete a single pass in the second half yesterday, but is balling out defensively as well, but still has all the weapons on offense, similar to last year's Super Bowl team? Which one do you put your marker on right now, Kurt?
Yeah, I was kind of
you could go neither trusted, as well if you want.
I know, is that I trusted, you know, Philly's offense more. I said that yesterday on our show, just because of some of the issues they had around Josh Allen. But man, you know, when you watch that offense, especially yesterday, I just scratched my head a lot of times on what they're doing and what they're trying to do. And, you know, Jalen is as great as he is at times. There's times where I'm just not fully sure that I would probably right now, you know, even though it lost yesterday, probably pick Josh Allen and company. I don't know. I mean, like you said, their defense is playing a little bit better. Their run game is good. And I trust Josh to make the play. And I know, you know, you could say, well, how do you do that? Because he missed the play yesterday. But he doesn't miss those plays very often, and often, you know, makes up for it with something else. And so they're just something that, you know, they had opportunities in that game. You know, he got tackled at the whatever 6-inch line one time where they turned the football over, and some crazy things happened in that game. I would just say, you know, knowing where the quarterbacks are, especially on the AFC side, I would probably lean towards Josh Allen, his experience, and that team more than the Eagles right now.
You know what's really crazy, Kurt, is you're getting set to call Rams and Falcons on Monday night on national radio. Is that the last time we saw the Rams play? It feels like an eternity ago, because the Lions were still alive in the playoffs. They had yet to lose to Pittsburgh and Minnesota. The Bears had yet to play the Packers for a second time and the 49ers. I mean, it's just two things to have upended the entire table of the NFC since the last time that the Rams took the field, watching Sam Darnold beat him with no time left. The Seahawks have already played again. It's just an entire Christmas slate happened, two games on Saturday that you and I called. It feels like a season ago. So where do you place the Rams in all of this now that all the pieces have settled and we see the momentum going in certain directions and the Week 18 schedule all set and the Rams having no shot at the one seed? Where do you place the Rams as they go into this game tonight, Kirk?
I mean, and again, there's so much here, right? Because they can't really, you know, they can't win the division now. You know, because of the scenario with San Francisco and Seattle. You know, the crazy thing is, you know, I'm hearing that if Atlanta wins out, wins these next two, then it doesn't even matter the Tampa game against Carolina, that Carolina would get in anyways because of the strength of schedule type stuff. Like, still so much riding on it, but it just makes you wonder, okay, what do the Rams do here these last couple weeks? Because I still think they may be the best team in the entire NFL. But, you know, so much has kind of gone against them from, you know, from that overtime touchdown pass to Puka, where you're thinking, okay, Rams are going to run this thing and possibly get the number one seed, to losing with the 2-point conversion. And then everything that's happened, you know, since they played, like you said, what's their approach? You know, what are they thinking at this point? How does that affect them mentally? These last couple weeks, I'm fascinated to watch, but I do think we're kind of overlooking them because we haven't seen them play in a while, and they could just be that team that comes out of the NFC.
Isn't that amazing? There's been so much football with a two different doubleheaders on Saturdays since they played last, right? A triple header on Christmas Day, a full slate of two Sundays. And we're overlooking the team that was the one seed going into week 16 because they haven't played in 11 days. It's crazy. Our world is nuts, man. Before I let you go, I just want to say farewell to the dad of the MVP of the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl. EJ Warner, take you, bring you home the hardware for Fresno State. And congratulations, Kurt.
Thank you. It was awesome. Great way for him to finish a really, really good college career. And yeah, like I said, it was a bummer that we couldn't be there, and I couldn't be there because we were calling the game. But but I'm glad it played out the way that it did, and now we sit back and see what his future is. I know he'd love to get a shot at the NFL level and see where he fits in. So we'll sit back now and enjoy that accomplishment, and then we'll go from there.
Well, listen, all he's got to do, we started the segment by looking at OGs for inspiration and Phillip Rivers. All he's got to do is look at the guy on the screen, and I'm not talking about me. You're the best, Kurt. You take care of yourself, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Have a great New Year. Have a great cast tonight, and I'll see you next week. Have a great New Year. That's Kurt Warner back here, as always, on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a quick break. He's heading off to the stadium. We're heading to our phone lines next, 844-204-RICH.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
The Rich Eisen Show. As you all know, I care deeply about pediatric cancer research and awareness. I love talking about Hyundai Hope on Wheels for that reason alone, and also to let everyone know that every Hyundai sold for the last 27 years has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research, because together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's go to Ken in Kokomo, Indiana. Oh, are we going all full Beach Boys here? A little Ken in Kokomo? What's going on?
Well, I'm not going to sing it, okay. But thanks for taking the call, Rich. Hey, listen, just a quick question. Do you have any behind-the-scenes information on how Game 272 ended up being the Ravens and the Steelers, rather than, say, the 49ers and the Seahawks?
Yes, I don't have any specific boots on the ground, everybody in a room last night knowledge. I just have institutional knowledge, having been around this scene for almost a quarter century, if I may. The NFL wants to have, and I think NBC as well, a win-or-go-home game, like a de facto playoff game. The last regular season game is, in fact, a playoff game, where the winner moves on and the loser goes home. And if the winner can move on and stay home because they're winning a division on top of it, where it's winner wins the division and loser goes home, they're going to choose that. And there were two such options for that. But there is an outside shot that the Falcons beat the Rams tonight. And if that happens, that would mean the Panthers could lose against the Buccaneers and still win the division if the Falcons beat the Saints the next day. And so the last thing they'd want to do is put the Bucs and the Panthers on as the last game of the year, and it's already been decided and it doesn't matter because the Falcons have won two in a row. It's created a three-way tie, regardless of the results of that night. If the Panthers or the Bucs win or lose, doesn't matter. And suddenly the final game of the year means nothing. They can't run that risk. Also, on top of it, with all due respect to the fans of the Bucs and the Panthers, the Ravens and the Steelers playing each other might be something of interest in a national scale. Certainly more than the Seahawks and the Seahawks and the Niners playing for the high rent district bye week or the low rent district of wild card game. And last year's final game of the year was at that matchup already. They don't want to have another winner moves on to a bye week, loser moves on to a road playoff game. That was last year's Lions Vikings game. So they don't want to repeat that either. Does that make sense to you, Ken?
It sure does. Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it. And Happy New Year to you.
Right
guys.
Back at you. We're just here to serve. We're here to serve.
You did a tremendous job of explaining that.
RES Consulting.
Tremendous.
He's done that a couple times, Tiege. I mean, that's what you do.
I mean, that I think is exactly what played out last night.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, plus Aaron Rodgers for the Steelers at home against the Ravens team. Ravens Steelers are just a paint swapping affair if it's in week 4, week 14.
But you do understand, you know, there is that group of fans out there, guys, and we all hear them, that thinks like something's not on the up and up when something like this happens. And Steelers should have beat the Browns. And, you know, there's a lot of that chatter going on, but that always happens.
Hey, you know, the Steelers haven't won in Cleveland since 2021.
That's true.
And, you know, you saw that coming for a lot of people. Mooch lone wolfed the Browns and then made this weird look into the camera. I don't know if you saw it.
No.
It looked like he was making something at the same time.
It was
a weird look.
Like a baby.
But Steelers-Ravens, as soon as the Steelers lost that game.
Yeah, it was obvious.
In Cleveland.
The last game.
Cooper looks at me and goes, how do you know it's not going to be Seattle and it's not going to be, you know, the NFC South? And I said to him, I'm so sure of this, I would almost wager you.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.